Let's go back to London. Liberal Democrat leader Ed Davey was jubilant after his party took 71 seats. They had 11 in the last election. Early this morning, our reporter Kate Varley caught up with him.
We're very excited. It's a historic achievement for the Liberal Democrats. We're now the largest third party force in Parliament for over 100 years. That's a huge achievement, so thank you very much.
And he managed to unseat some Tory ministers. Reaction?
Just delighted. I'm so proud of the way that we fought a very positive campaign with reforming our health and care system right at the heart, and people responded, and we couldn't be more proud.
The energetic and acrobatic leader of the Liberal Democrats, Ed Davey, with our reporter, Kate Varley. Let's speak now to one of the UK's best-known pollsters, Professor John Curtis. Professor Curtis, good afternoon. Thanks for speaking to us today.
Good afternoon to you.
That success of the Liberal Democrats with quite a small share of the vote, a smaller share of vote than Reform, who won less seats than them. And we were discussing earlier how Labour's landslide compared to their worst electoral performance in 2019 came with less votes than they got 5 years ago. It's sometimes hard to work out this election.
Well, of course, there are two things you have to bear in mind with our single member priority electoral system. The first is that it's not absolute level of support, but support relative to your opponents that matters. The second is that geography is crucial and that you need to be able to get your votes sufficiently concentrated, particularly if you're a smaller party, to be able to gain votes into seats. As far as the Liberal Democrats are concerned, well, basically they advantage by two things. So, you know, their own share of the vote was up by about half point or so. Very, very little difference from last time. And they're still well short of the kind of figures they were getting before they entered into the coalition with the Conservatives back in 2010. However, one, the Conservatives are heavily down, right? That's the big story of the election. They're down by 20 points on the last election. That therefore made seats in which the Liberal Democrats were starting in second place to the Conservatives potentially vulnerable to the Liberal Democrats, particularly because the decline in Conservative support might have been 20 points across the country as a whole, but it was much more than that, much more like 25 points in the places the Conservatives were trying to defend. And then meanwhile, the electorate seemed to be sufficiently keen to want to get rid of the Conservatives that they tended to vote for whichever party was best able locally to defeat the Conservatives. So where do the Liberal Democrats actually do register in advance? It was in constituencies where they started off in second. Indeed, their vote in these was on average up by 9 points. So it's the crucial things in single member plurality of A, geographical distribution, and B, tactical voting that explain why the Liberal Democrats did so well.
Yeah, we've seen big electoral changes here in the last generation in Ireland. Arguably, they're seeing a big one in France at the moment. But under first past the post, is this landslide just a one-off generational thing, or is British politics genuinely changing?
Well, the answer to that question might be yes and no. I mean, I think it's now difficult to remember that after the 2019 election, people said, oh, it would be absolutely impossible for the Labour Party to win an overall majority. The kind of lead they would need, given their electoral geography, means it's virtually impossible. Well, then we have Boris Johnson and Partygate and Liz Truss and the fiscal event, and that just utterly transformed the electoral scene.
And Brexit and COVID, yes.
Yeah, sure. But the two things, there are just literally 2 points in the last four and a half years when support for the Conservatives fell precipitously. And those are the two events. And they are the two events that eventually are the foundations of Conservatives' defeat. So to that extent, at least, we should not read too much from one election about what's going to happen in 5 years' time. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 years? That said, this was the first election to be fought in virtually every constituency by five parties. That's never happened before. And we do now have two UK-wide parties, the Greens and Reform, who have a significant number, albeit only four in both cases, MPs for the first time. So, in effect, if you're the traditional image of the House of Commons is, you know, one big party on the government side and another big party not that much smaller on the other side. Well, now we've got one very big party on one side of the House of Commons, and on the other side, we've got a scattering of different parties of all somewhat different sizes, but we are looking at a quite notably fragmented opposition.
Professor John Curtis, thank you very much for speaking to us. We could talk about this all day, but you need some rest. And we've got a lifeline next. Thank you.